I just wanted to talk for a couple of minutes. What's really the problem, Mr. Rafar? Why are we so? Why do we object so much to the idea of women getting smicha? Whatever you want to call it, smicha. The title doesn't matter. Hetayra. Smicha is a hetayra. It's a yer. It's a hetayra to baskin. So why do we find that objectionable? So I think it's good idea to understand. Not only for the issue at hand, but l'lamed al chal kula also is relevant to other issues. So why do we object? Why are we so adamant against the idea of smicha for women? So, I guess one answer one could say, I could tell you, that the reason why we're against women getting smicha is because of there's an issue of srara. You know that the Rambam brings halacha, the Rambam brings from the Sifrei, Melech v'lei Malkah, so in Tosim Lecha Melech v'lei Malkah, he brings the drasha. That all the Mesimah should be Yisrael, all the Nyanei Yisrael and Klal Yisrael have to be a man and not a woman. And one might argue, one might respond, maybe this is not Sora, maybe Sora is only if you have power, if you can enforce things. Maybe a Heterah is not power. So I could say, well, but the Chinuch says that Sora is even Sora Shul Kovet. Sora is not only Sora of Koyach, not only Sora of Mishpat, of Kriya. The Chinuch says Sora Shul Kovet also goes into the Yisra of Sora. So I could say that, and that would be, I think it's true, and it would be cogent, but that's not the deepest reason. It's not true, but it's not the deepest reason. I could say maybe a deeper reason. That in Yiddishkeit, in Yahadus, there's so much gender differentiation. Halacha shot through with the idea that the different genders play different roles. Every page of halacha, about every simon of Shulchan Aruch, says in halacha of Shulchan Aruch, for sure, you have chilukim between men and women. It's part and parcel of halacha. It's part and parcel of the Torah. And therefore, the impulse, the egalitarian impulse, to attack that differentiation at one point is an attack on the whole fabric of halacha at every point. It's against the whole Ruach of Torah. That dissatisfaction with the idea of gender differentiation, the idea of the Nechem, Mishnantim Levanechem, that dissatisfaction with that state of affairs. That dissatisfaction is really the satisfaction with Kol HaTorah Kulo. Same with Oversight. I could tell you that, and that would also be true. That would also be cogent, but that's not the deepest reason. The deepest reason is this. Pasuk says, "Tayrat Sivalon Moshe, Meirasha Kilas Yaakov." Tayrat is the Meirasha. Tayrat is the Yerusha. We got the Tayrat HaSinai. Part of the Tzivu, part of the Tayrat was Mitzavos, was to pass the Tayrat on Yerusha to the next generation. And every generation has that achrayus to pass the Tayrat on, to pass on the Yadus that they received from their parents and from their Rabbein, to pass that Yerusha on unchanged to the next generation, to their children, to their Talmidim. And that way we have a chain, we have a link of generations that links us back to Har Sinai. Gemara says, Kol Malamed is ben b'nai Torah ki l'kibla me'Har Sinai. Person teaches Torah to his grandchildren. It's like he was mekabel Torah again from Har Sinai. And I think the idea is because part of what we obligated ourselves to do at Har Sinai was to pass the Torah on unchanged. The fewer the links, they have to be. What's the mile of ben benoy Torah? You teach your child Torah, teach your son Torah, he'll teach it to his son. There's a special mile in ben benoy because it's a link closer to Har Sinai. And it's not so many links. The number of links that take us back to Har Sinai, if you figure it that way, ben benoy, from grandfather to grandson, how many links do you need to get back to Har Sinai? 50 links, 55 links? Not much more than that. Think of it in, once somebody once said to me, think of it in terms of storm. Mr. Shem, this Pesach, my children will sit at the Seder with the grandfather, and he'll tell them the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, their grandfather, he sat at the Seder. His grandfather told him the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You go back 50 storm, 55 such storm, and it's Pesach Mitzrayim, and that's you're in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a number of links that connects us back to Har Sinai. It's not so far away. But it only connects us if the links are strong. In every generation, Jews were Meisa Nefesh. In particular, the Ziknei Hador were Meisa Nefesh. But the Mesiris HaTorah, the transmission of Yadus from one generation to the next, should be unchanged. The same Yadus that we receive, that same Yadus we should protect the Yadus on to the next generation. Imagine if each generation would change the Yadus a little bit. Each generation would be the Ruach HaZman, whatever was fashionable at the time, they would make some small change in the Yadus. So over the course of the generations, 100 generations, it will be different beyond recognition. The biggest achrayis that we have, the biggest responsibility that we have, is to pass on the Yadus that we received unchanged to the next, unchanged to the next generation. Every Malamed, every Rav, every Rosh Shiva, every Jew has that above and beyond every other responsibility that we have as Jews. The greatest responsibility that we have is to transmit the same Yadus that we got from our parents and from our Abayim to transmit that to our children and to our Talmid. And everything I try to do in Shir, so that I try to tell you Chidushim and my own Chidushim and the Oris and so on, and that's all important for me. But the main thing that I want to transmit is what I got from my Rebbeim, the Havon of Satara, the Havon of Limud, that I got from my Rebbeim to give it over to you. And that's what every Rav has to feel, and every Rebbe has to feel, and every parent has to feel, that that's their primary responsibility. So we might ask, but aren't there innovations? Weren't there even Gdol Yisrael who made innovations? The Rebbe said, you know, Mokam and Nichol Avosel is Gader. Chaim Voloshin innovated the Yeshiva, expanded the Yeshiva Voloshin. It was a big innovation at the time. The Chasam Sofer made innovations and founded also a Yeshiva at the time when it was considered a big innovation to create such a thing. What about Sarah Schneer, Sarah de Beis Yaakov? Wasn't that an innovation? Isn't there such a thing as being an innovation in Yiddishkeit? The answer is, a lot of there were innovations. But every innovation in Yiddishkeit, the purpose of the innovation was l'achzer ha'Torah l'yoshna. Every innovation that was made in Yiddishkeit, the tachlis was to restore that which was in danger of being lost. Sometimes it needs a big shikul hadas to know what's an innovation, whose purpose is, and whose effect will be l'hatzirat ha'aliyoshna, to preserve the Messiah. And what's an innovation that's not to preserve the Messiah, that's just an innovation, and if it's an innovation, then it's a shinui and yabus. And sometimes it needs a tremendous judgment. Sometimes it needs the judgment of Ziknei Ador. Sometimes it needs the judgment of a chad b'dor ha'mamash, of a yochid shebador. When Rav Chaim wanted to start the yeshiva in Balozhin, and Reb Chaim lays out in the Nefesh HaChaim all the reasons why he thought it was important to start the family Shiva Malozhin. He saw that learning was in decline. People weren't learning with the same commitment that they were in the past, he felt. And perhaps, we said he talks about less, but perhaps he felt also he wanted to give over the Derech HaLimud of the Goyim, to go back to the Derech HaLimud of the Rishonim, felt it was too much pilpul. Maybe that was all part of his agenda. He had strong reasons why he wanted to start the Shiva Malozhin. And we would think, to start the Shiva Malozhin, not such a radical innovation to Yeshivas before. What's the difference? Little yeshivas, big yeshivas. It used to be small, decentralized yeshivas. And he wanted to make a big, centralized yeshiva for all of Litva. You wouldn't think it needed, not such a radical thing. Chaim went to the, nonetheless, didn't do it on his own. Went to the Goyin, and he asked the Goyin if he should start such a yeshiva. And the Goyin said no. He said no. So he said, okay. The Goyin said no. So he put it aside. And a while later, a year later, I'm not sure exactly how long later, the Goyin came back. Then called him back. The Gaon said, okay, you could start the yeshiva. He said, the way I remember the story, the Gaon said to him that if you would have kept asking me, then I would have felt that it's not entirely L'shem Shemayim. It's something you want to do. So I said, no, you keep asking because it's something you really want to do. It's not 100% L'shem Shemayim. Such an innovation can't be Matzliach. But I saw that you accepted that I said no. So I understood that your Kavanah was entirely L'shem Shemayim. So if it's L'shem Shemayim, it could be Matzliach. And when Sochner started the Beis Yaakov, the first Beis Yaakov in Krakow, so also it was a big innovation, a bigger innovation. She didn't decide on her own. She went to the Zikne Ador, she went to the Chofetz Chaim, the Gerebbe, to the Mayemis. She machria this kind of innovation, if it's an innovation whose effect will be to preserve the Messiah, or if it's an innovation, that'll be innovation, that'll be Mashan and Messiah. They were machria that this is necessary, it's necessary to preserve the Messiah. These things need a tremendous shikul hadas. What's cool? What preserves the Messiah and what changes the Messiah? But Akhala Godol, there's no bigger achrayus that a Jew has than not to change Yiddishkeit. To give smicha to women, and it doesn't matter what the name is, and it doesn't matter if they're going to occupy pulpits or they're not going to occupy pulpits, to give a heterot to women, is a radical change in the fabric of Yavs. It's a major change. And it's a change that without question will precipitate other changes. And nobody could take the measure, nobody could gauge how many shinuyim, how much change such an innovation would effect. The people who are pushing for it know that it's gonna that it would be a tremendous change. It would be like the internet. It would change everything. It's a radical change in the whole, in how Torah is taught, and how halacha is decided, and how mysterious that Torah looks. It will be a radical change in Yadus. There's no greater betrayal of Yadus. There's no greater betrayal of our responsibility for Sinai than to introduce recklessly such a change in Yadus. It would be. It would be a begid in Har Sinai. You know, I'm not a closed-minded person, and I'm not an intolerant person, and I understand that the need, you know, we have to have within the tent of Orthodoxy, we have to have people be embracive enough that we can include people who don't necessarily agree with us on every point. All of that, I understand, and I'm asking. And for that matter, I'm not a priori against the idea that women should be able to realize their potential. I mean, that impulse that women should be able to realize their potential educationally, I'm not against it. But nonetheless, none of those considerations can override the core achrayus that we have to give over the Yerusha of Yadus unchanged and intact. And it's not something you can play games with. You can't say, well, we're going to make this change, and you know, who will see what happens, you know, we'll see what changes come of it. It's not, our achrayus is not to change Yadus. And this would be a major change in Yadus. I think right now, at this moment in time, there's no greater imminent threat to the integrity of the Yerusha of Yadus than the feminist agenda of introducing changes to the core institutions of Yiddishkeit. And I feel very strongly that im hacharish tacharishu la'es hazois, but if we'll be machrish at this juncture in time, we're not gonna take a stand on this issue. So Rebbe Tatzol v'yamdu la'yudum imok ha-machar, Yiddishkeit, Kodesh Baruch Hu will preserve his Yiddishkeit. But we will have Chalila betrayed our trust as guardians of the Messiah and as preservers of that Yerusha, of Mayotha Yerusha Seinu. And this could be no more important agenda. There could be no consideration of tolerance and inclusiveness that could override that overarching agenda, that overarching responsibility. Okay, that's my